and welcome to the June 16th episode of Investing Beyond Borders, a podcast from Miranda Law Firm that brings you regular insight on investment opportunities and legal and regulatory updates from throughout the Miranda Alliance world. This week, we bring you news on the Southern African power pool, critical minerals in Angola, infrastructure projects in Côte d'Ivoire and Gabon, hydropower in Mozambique, the Sangomar oil and gas field offshore Senegal, the timeline for swearing in of the new government in Timor-Leste, and other major developments in our jurisdictions. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Investing Beyond Borders. Joanna, over to you.
We start this week's episode with news that over 1,000 energy storage projects have been announced globally, according to information from the Second Energy Storage Forum in Dubai. These projects represent a staggering $320 billion in investments set to be made by 2030, signaling the accelerating momentum behind hydrogen as a key player in the energy sector. Under the theme Driving Energy Transition Pathways Towards COP28, the forum was jointly organized by the Gulf Cooperation Council, Interconnection Authority, and Electric Power Research Institute, an independent nonprofit energy research and development organization. It called on financial institutions worldwide to invest in energy storage technologies, particularly focusing on hydrogen storage to support green and renewable energy sources. Hydrogen, one of the core energy transition areas the Miranda Alliance is working on, notably its storage, emerged as one of the most promising energy storage solutions, gaining significant attention as a clean and versatile fuel capable of generating power through fuel cells and storing excess renewable energy. In Angola, the National Agency for Oil, Gas and Biofuels announced that it will hold a bidding roadshow for 12 oil blocks. 8 in the Kwanza onshore basin and 4 in the lower Congo onshore basin. The session to be held in Luanda on 19 June will cover the technical evaluations of existing blocks and data packages, accessibility studies and environmental legislation, legal, fiscal and contractual framework and commercial terms, logistical conditions and opportunities for regional development and promotion of local content, and requirements for companies wishing to partner with a national concessionaire. The Angolan government is committed to financing the construction of electricity transmission lines to interconnect the national power system to that of the Southern African region. To that effect, the National Electricity Transmission Network, RNT, will become an operating member of the regional market of the Southern African Power Pool, SAPP, with the completion of the last phase of the construction project of the 400 kilovolt line that will interconnect Angola to neighboring Namibia. The power generated from hydroelectric dams and the Soyo combined cycle power plant meets the needs of the population and that of the country's industrialization, which allows for an outflow of energy for an effective participation in the SAPP market. In addition to the minerals currently produced in Angola, such as diamonds, gold, iron, granite, and marble, the Angolan government wants a more diversified national mining production, focused on critical minerals needed for energy transition. The minerals in question are chromium, cobalt, copper, graphite, iron, lead, lithium, manganese, nickel, and silver. The production of these minerals will play a decisive part in the country's socio-economic development towards decarbonization, while allowing a significant portion of the value chain of these minerals to be processed locally. The Angolan 2050 long-term strategy foresees an investment of $21 million for the province of Kwanza North. It will focus on the private investor as a factor for economic development, especially on the increase of foreign direct investment. According to the document, there will be a considerable increase in GDP in the region, and the number of jobs is expected to double. Angola and Portugal are expanding their continuous cooperation with 13 new legal instruments. One in particular stands out: the Strategic Cooperation Program for the 2023-2027 period, under the terms of which the credit line made available by the Portuguese authorities rose from 1.5 billion to 2 billion euros. The President of the Republic, João Lourenço, highlighted the state of relations between Angola and Portugal, ensuring that these relations cover practically every sector, and has called for greater investment by Portuguese companies to diversify the Angolan economy. Angola and the Democratic Republic of the Congo are close to settling a 50-year dispute over offshore Block 14. The Democratic Republic of the Congo is in the process of finalizing an agreement with Angola and oil and gas major Chevron, under which both countries would become joint holders of the bloc. Under the terms of the deal, Angola's national oil company Sonangol will write off a debt of $200 million that the DRC's national oil company, Sonaidrok, owes to the Angolan parastatal. In addition to the potential settlement, Congo and Angola are expanding their collaboration in various sectors, notably in the fields of tourism, women empowerment, forestry, wildlife, small and medium-sized companies, construction, urban planning and housing. On the sidelines of the Africa CEO Forum that took place in Abidjan last week, the government of Côte d'Ivoire has taken another step towards stimulating the local economy by accelerating industrial transformation. The government signed three memorandums of understanding worth $450 million, a testament to its commitment to increasing sustainable economic growth, job creation, and the development of the private sector. The first memorandum provides for the construction of a cajou processing plant in the Arise industrial zone for a total of $100 million. The second memorandum of understanding concerns a project for the integrated development of a plantain plantation covering 900 hectares for $32 million. Finally, the third memorandum of understanding was signed with ACC for the construction of a real estate complex comprising three towers on the site, currently housing the Ivorian Press Agency. Road interconnection with rural areas is an increasingly important issue for African nations, which is why the Ivorian executive approved a €276.9 million loan agreement signed last April with the World Bank's International Development Association to build road infrastructure as part of the Rural Connectivity Project. This represents 60% of the €500 million allocated to the project, which is co-financed by the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. It focuses on the rehabilitation and upgrading of strategic roads to improve rural road connectivity and strengthen resilience to climate change. According to the World Bank, the investment will rehabilitate and maintain around 15,000 kilometers of roads and rural infrastructure in 11 regions of the country and help to open up the target regions and reduce travel time and transport costs for the population. The Gabonese government and Africa 50 have signed a framework agreement for the financing and development of electricity transmission lines in the country via a public-private partnership. This memorandum of understanding is an opportunity for investors to commit to Gabon's strong hydroelectric potential and meet the country's pressing need for transmission lines. Guinea-Bissau held parliamentary elections earlier this month with coalition Plataforma Aliança Inclusiva, Terra Ranca, winning with an absolute majority. The coalition led by Domingos Simões Pereira obtained 54 out of the 102 seats in parliament. The European Union and the European Investment Bank will disburse €500 million for the Mpandankua Dam hydroelectric project in central Mozambique, a project on which the Miranda Alliance has been advising for some time now. A total of €300 million will go to the high voltage line, of which €50 million is a donation, and the remaining €200 million will serve the hydroelectric plant. The announcement comes 12 days after the Mozambican government announced that a consortium led by Electricity de France and including oil company Total Energie was chosen as a preferred bidder to implement the project under a concession. With an estimated cost of €4.2 billion, Mpandankua will be built 61 kilometers downstream of the Kawarebasa hydroelectric plant on the Zambezi River in Tete province. It will have an installed power generation capacity of up to 1,500 megawatts and a 1,300-kilometer high-voltage line from Tete to Maputo. The project will be the lowest-cost option for energy production and will be critical to the energy transition and decarbonization process in the southern region of the African continent. It should strengthen Mozambique's position in the energy export arena as a regional energy hub. For the last 5 years, the Mozambican government has approved 63 investment projects budgeted at $402 million in the northern province of Cabo Delgado, which would have created close to 5,000 jobs, mostly in the services, energy, and industry sectors. The Industrial Policy and Strategy and the National Industrialized Mozambique Program, PRONAI 2021-2035, aim to bring industrialization to the districts, supporting projects that create jobs, infrastructure, and innovation, which, according to the minister, would require increased efficiency, working with partners, overseeing the energy-related focus, the existence of industrial and commercial logistics, and value chain development through local content. Under the economic acceleration package launched last year, Mozambique is extending mining benefits to districts and provinces, which will now receive a 7.25% tax on mining or oil production. This initiative is designed to foster and promote the growth and prosperity of these regions by channeling financial resources towards local development projects, marking a significant step towards inclusive economic growth and development. Over in Portugal, IBM is planning to open an innovation center in the field of quantum computing, which would have a direct connection with the company's quantum computing center in the United States. The group hopes to receive the support of public and private entities and intends to work with them on the project, which hopes to bring quantum computing to educational institutions as well as the business ecosystem. In Senegal, Woodside Energy, the Australian company which operates the Sangomar oil and gas field, has launched its oil on the market. While the first barrels of crude oil and shipments of natural gas from the Sangomar blocks 100 kilometers south of Dakar are expected by the end of this year, a precise date for when the first cargo would be available has not been provided. Senegal's new production comes at a favorable time, just as Europe is looking for new sources to replace sanctioned Russian oil, and the organization of the petroleum exporting countries and its allies, known collectively as OPEC Plus, are extending production cuts until 2024. In Timor-Leste, the government is launching the National Strategic Plan for Digital Development and Information and Communication Technologies, Timor Digital 2032, to boost digital and technological development of the country. It is a 10-year strategic plan to develop digital technologies and ICT, with emphasis on their application in critical areas that impact human and economic development. Among the objectives of Timor Digital 2032 are the implementation of e-government for the delivery of government services, fostering an inclusive economy, and strengthening the health, education, and agriculture sectors. The plan is also set to progressively incorporate additional areas according to government development priorities. The strategic plan proposes coordination and implementation mechanisms aligned with government development priorities and also optimizes the cost-effectiveness of digitalization and ICT investments, both from the government and other partners. Timor-Leste's president, José Ramos-Horta, and the leaders of the two parties that will form the new government have agreed on a timetable for the investiture of the executive following the May elections. The final calendar provides for the formal start of the 6th legislature on 22 June with the swearing-in of the 65 members of parliament elected and the presentation of candidates for president of the national parliament, who will be elected the following day. On 29 June, the president of the republic will have the first meeting with the prime minister-designate, Xanana Guzmão, as well as other elements of the two parties in the executive. The following day, José Ramos-Horta will sign the decree appointing the 9th constitutional government, which will take office on 1 July at the presidential palace in Dili. Finally, Miranda's partner and co-head of energy, Ricardo Silva, took office earlier this month as president of the Association of International Energy Negotiators, a role that acknowledges his and the firm's contribution and dedication to the organization over the years. Founded in 1982 as the AIPN, the AIEN is a non-profit, member-based organization that seeks to bring members together to promote sharing of knowledge and provide the global energy industry with balanced model contracts that can be used in negotiations worldwide and is based on three pillars: education, model contracts, and networking. If you wish to learn more about the organization, you can visit www.aien.org or simply reach out to us.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Investing Beyond Borders. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with more developments in the Miranda Alliance world. Please join us then for more news from the 16 Miranda Alliance jurisdictions. In the meantime, you can drop by our website or LinkedIn page, where you will find more updates on our activity and legal developments of interest to our clients and followers. This podcast was brought to you by Miranda Law Firm and Miranda Alliance. You can find out more about our worldwide activities and assistance to investors at www.mirandalawfirm.com. This episode was presented by Joana Graça Moura from our Lisbon office and Luis Miranda from the Houston office. Content was developed exclusively for Miranda by the Miranda Alliance podcast team. Technical support is provided by Catarina Moraes from our communications department. All content is subject to copyright and protected by law.